NRL Round 14 Preview Podcast time. Liam and MG here. Let's get stuck into some footy. The round kicks off tonight, MG. Thursday night footy, Roosters v Storm at the SCG. Coverage from 6 o'clock with us. Straight into NRL prime time from 7. Then yourself, Nathan Brown, Dan Ganane with the call tonight. We've spoken about this game during the week. It's more about who's not going to be out there rather than who is going to be out there. There's no Warrior Hargraves, no Cordner, no Brett Morris. Still no room for Flanagan in the team. Lockie Lamb holding his spot alongside Luke Keary, and then no Cam Smith or Cam Munster for the Storm.
Yeah, look, I think the Melbourne Storm are probably most disadvantaged by the two superstars they have out, but the way they've been playing football within their structures and as a group, I think they, I think they can overcome the adversity of losing their two best players more so than I think the Roosters, who, again, I know last week they were, you know, they beat the Dragons pretty well on the back of a Luke Keary inspired second half. But I just got a sneaking suspicion that the Storm have got something up their sleeve for the Roosters. And look, you made a good point. This game is more about who isn't playing than who is playing. And I can't wait to see both these teams at full strength. But I'm just going to go for the little bit of an upset on this one. I think the Storm, I think, are playing a bit better of a brand of footy with their players they bring in and out.
It's funny that you would tip that as the upset when the Storm are above the Roosters on the ladder. It's second. The Storm versus the Roosters. When, MG, what are the Melbourne Storm going to have to achieve for people to stop underestimating them, you know?
Well, I think when we expect excellence from this outfit, not just on the field but off the field, they're just the complete package. You know, they've had their dramas, obviously, with the salary cap back, you know, in the day. But ever since then, they've just knuckled down, and every year they get better as a club. They're the one club, I think, that every player in the comp aspires to be like, and that's the biggest rap you can give to any rugby league team. Them and the Roosters, these two teams have been the best clubs. And that's a bit, both inverted commas, the clubs of the last decade. So players are clamouring to get to the Roosters in the Storm.
They're a half a game off the Panthers in first spot. They're a point off the Panthers in first spot with the best defence in the competition. And you and I have done those looking back retrospective podcasts about the past decade of rugby league. And mostly the team with the best defence wins the comp. And right now they, alongside the Eels, have the least points scored against them.
Yeah, and I think they've got the best coach in the competition as well. These two are the best coaches. I think Bellamy still shades Trent Robinson as the best coach in the game, but Robinson's quickly chasing him down. But it's hard for me to back against any team that Craig Bellamy coaches, even though his two best players are out.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so you're going with the Storm in an upset. Strange to hear it called. You're right. It would be, most people would think of it as an upset, even though the Storm sit higher on the ladder. Let's move along to Friday night. 6 o'clock, you see the Warriors take on your Panthers, MG. Coverage on Triple M for this one. Anthony Maroon, yourself, and Ryan Girdler. Coverage from 5:55. This one's being played at Central Coast Stadium. The Panthers unchanged. The Warriors, with a few changes along the way, feels very one-sided.
It does. They're the ones that worry me. Also, the fact that the Warriors have won back to back. They've gone from the Tigers into beating Manly.
Yes.
And no Blake Green. I think this might be the game where they might be blown away a bit. I think Panthers may be too strong. But who knows? Who bloody knows with the Warriors? This word that just keeps coming to mind every time I think of them is stoic. They're just showing a different resolve this year. And I don't know what it is. Is it because they're more settled? Is it because they've been coached by someone who's different? I don't know what the answer is, but whatever it is, keep doing it because you're playing great footy, Warriors. But Todd, I think Panthers will be too strong.
Todd Payton's putting on one hell of an audition for the North Queensland Cowboys coaching job.
He's got the gig.
Second Friday night. So you're going with your Panthers, though. Second Friday night game. Eels taking on Dragons. Bankwest Stadium. No coverage for Triple M of this one. But the Eels finally get Ryan Madison back from that concussion, which is massive. And then we see the MG spine, as I like to call it, for the St. George Illawarra Dragons, which sees Duffy play at fullback. You have Clune and Corey Norman in the halves, Hunt as hooker, and McInnes at lock.
And if reports are to be believed, this could be Mary McGregor's last game as the coach of the St. George Illawarra Dragons.
That would be the fourth coach this season.
It's a joke. It can't. Why now? What do you gain out of
it? That is 25% of your senior coaches being fired mid-season.
As a game, we're a joke as far as our coaches go and retention of coaches. We've got to get more tougher up.
It hasn't happened yet, but you know.
Yeah, I know that. Well, let's hope the Dragons put on a great performance. I think they will. I think they're a dangerous side. And we spoke to Miriam McGregor before last Thursday night's game.
Yes.
And I said to him, at times your team is the best looking team in the competition, but only, unfortunately for you guys, it's only for 20 minutes a game. and a game goes for 80, and he agreed. And I think the same, you know, the Eels aren't that team anymore. The Eels used to be like the Dragons. They'd go hard for 20 or 30 and then get beaten by 8 or 10 points at the back end of the games. Well, that's what the Dragons are now. Mm. And the Eels have developed into a team that win the ugly ones, which is the hardest games to win because they're getting pushed, they're getting probed, but they're winning. And I can't go against the Eels in this one.
The X factor in this one, though, however, is the short recovery for the Eels off the back of the draining wet weather game they played against the Sharks on Sunday. And they haven't made any changes. Brian Madison, the only one, obviously. But most of those players backing up from that performance, it'll be interesting to see how much ticker they've got left in their legs. But you're going with the Eels, hard to tip against them. Saturday afternoon, once you get into Saturday Triple M programming, you really just stick put. You got the Dead Set Legends with Wendell Saylor, Drew Bolton and Gus Wallen from 10 o'clock. Then you swing into the Saturday Scrum with Tony Squires, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. And I love this rotating setup, and especially I love it when this man rotates in, Mark Geyer.
Yeah, back-to-back, first time for me this year. I'm pumped about being back on the Saturday Scrum. It's enjoyable 3 hours of talking rugby league and obviously a lead-up to the game that we're going to be seeing is the Sharks and the Titans.
The mighty 2021 premiers, the Gold Coast Titans taking on the Cronulla Sharks. At Jubilee Stadium, coverage from 2:55, Maroon, Peter Sterling, Ryan Girdler, pretty handy coverage. What are you thinking for this one, mate?
I'm thinking Sharks, but there's a bit of a caveat with it. I'm enjoying watching the Titans play. The Titans and the Warriors used to be them teams you go, oh, okay, flick the channel, let's go. Even though I never have, I watch every game, every minute of rugby league, but sometimes you don't take as much notice when teams are playing that don't excite you.
You can call it what it is, MG. They were dog's breakfast.
You said that.
No, they used to be. You can love rugby league and still call a shit game.
Yeah, true.
And those clubs you mentioned offered up a fair few shit games.
Yeah, and that's yeah, thanks for saying that for me. I'm glad you said that. Liam Flanagan was the
I reckon if you asked some of the players involved in those times, they would raise their hands and say, it wasn't great.
Do you want to keep digging yourself into the bigger hole? Do you want to keep going?
Yeah, I will. Give me five. So,
Well, you're mentioning him, Mal Meninga. Well, what an ornament to the game. What a presence. He's probably one of the best signings the Titans have ever had. Probably the best signing the Titans have ever had.
That at the time.
Yep, I know that. And it's proven to be correct, because he's already got one of the best young up-and-coming back rowers in Fifita. Who else knows? You've got SASA going there. You've got Tino from the Storm going
big
there.
Big Tino.
And all of a sudden, did you notice last week that as soon as there's a bit of movement at the station, Ash Taylor's game went to the next level last week. He started to run. He started to step. He started to pass.
Brimson at fullback
has been the catalyst for their recent good form. And I think
Peach has been playing well.
The Peach has been fantastic. He's got a new lease of life. And the Sharkies, we just mentioned that with the Eels, coming off that quagmire last Sunday, it's a short turnaround, 5-day turnaround. Their legs will be feeling it. And the Titans are full of youthful and exuberance on the footy field. Mm. So Brian Kelly in the centres has been a star for mine. I think the Sharks will win, but I think it's going to be one of them really tough games. I like the Titans' style of play, and I like Justin Holbrook as a coach.
Well, quickly on Justin Holbrook, Mal Meninga said that he'll be a Hall of Fame coach by the end of his career. He rates him that highly, which is huge.
Well, Mal knows. Now, Mal's been around. Mal came down from Brisbane in 1986 to play with the Raiders, and everyone who talks about rugby league say that he's been the Raiders' best signing. Now they're saying that Fifita's done what Mal did at the Titans. He's kind of, you know, you can build a club around blokes like Mal Meninga and Dave Fifita, and I think that's exactly what Mal knows what he's doing.
Amazingly, as good as the Sharks have been of recent times, this is such an important game for them to win, because they sit in eighth position, a game clear of the Sea Eagles, two games clear of the West Tigers and the Warriors. Now, we expect the Warriors to probably lose to the Panthers this weekend. It's going to be an uphill battle for them. The West Tigers have got the Bulldogs, who sit at the foot of the ladder. So you would think they should get the win there. But the Seagulls take on the Knights. Now, if the Sharks were to lose this and the Seagulls spring a surprise, all of a sudden the Sharks, I mean, they've got a better differential. So they probably stay in the eight, but then they're back in the pack amongst the quagmire again. So they really do need to win this game.
Yeah, it is. It's them teams in the bottom half of the eight, the Knights, the Rabbitohs, the Sharks, and then you've got Manly and the Tigers, 9th and 10th, who haven't been playing that good, and they've been, especially Manly, been hit by the injury stick pretty hard. I expect the Tigers to bounce back this week, though. Yeah, you're right, but you can't afford to lose a game when you're in the top eight because all of a sudden you just get smothered by these teams coming through. So this is a must-win for the Sharks, and I think they will.
Must be exhausting for John Morris. Right, Saturday, 5:30, we've got the Cowboys taking on the Rabbitohs. This game happening at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. No Triple M coverage. Kickoff is at 5:30. The Bunnies finding some form.
You know what? And enjoying the rugby league. That's the most important thing when you're playing this game, especially in these trying times that we are now facing. They look like they're enjoying themselves. On the footy field, there's some pictures in the paper of them earlier in the week at training, kicking a Swiss ball around, playing a game of soccer. Wayne Bennett's on Zoom with them with his face mask on. They're, you know, taking the pee a bit. But it's you got to have fun. You got to have fun as a club. And I think they're having fun at the moment. Latrell, and he's put all his demons behind him.
How good is it seeing him smile? On the rugby league field.
It's good to see him back to some form because we know how good a player he is. And it's good to see him playing fullback and getting that ball and just charging into the defence like he did last weekend and the weekend before that. So I'm just not seeing enough from the Cowboys to tip them. You know, Morgan's back last week. It looked like he shouldn't be back because that shoulder was obviously still giving him some dramas. Drinkwater's back this week for the Cowboys, but at fullback, which adds some potency. Really rate him as a rugby league player. So he could have a bit of versatility, but I don't think it's going to be enough to beat the Rabbitohs.
No, just to reiterate this, because I think some people forget this because we've seen so much of this kid. He's won 2 competitions, State of Origin, Dally M position awards, all the rest. Latrell Mitchell just turned 23.
Yeah, he's a baby.
He's a baby.
He's a wee baby.
Right, let's move along to Saturday night, 7:35. You've got the Raiders taking on the Broncos, the rising Raiders against the out-of-sort Brisbane Broncos. I mean, the week that the Brisbane Broncos have just endured, you wouldn't... You wouldn't be surprised if they turned up.
Do we even go there?
Well,
really?
Do you just chip the Raiders and we move on, MG?
I think so.
Okay. Let's move to Sunday. We get into Sunday again on Triple M. Once you get into the Sunday sin bin, you grip the wheel, you white-knuckle it, and you get through to the other side.
Yeah, it's like a wave at the beach when you're on your boogie board. You know you're going to get dumped. And you just go, okay, grit your teeth and let's just go for the ride.
Or it's like when your parents are teaching you to drive and they're sitting in the passenger seat and they've just got one hand permanently on the dashboard just going, no, you're doing well. Oh!
I've done that 5 times, mate, and I tell you, there's a reason I'm bald.
All right, declare it now. Who was the worst to teach?
The first one, Logan. The first. It's kind of like the first, but you know, that's it. When you're first kid, you got the monitor on in their room. You keep going in the check, you know, watching them breathe. And by 5, the first kid's looking after the 5th.
Actually, a little side note here. The other day when I just had my second little boy, Mac, and as we were at the hospital, the midwife came in as Alana, my wife, was picking Mac up for a feed, and the midwife took one look at it and said, I'm guessing that's your second child. And she said, yeah. And he goes, I can tell by the way you're handling it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's like a football in the air. Yeah. Come here. Let's pass it around. The first one.
Couple of loose carries.
Don't touch the first one, man. Don't even go near it.
Right, Sunday sin bin. The point is, Maroon, James Hooper, Paul Kent, Gordon Towers, especially after what Hooper and Kenty delivered against one another NRL 360 during the week.
Come on, boys, save that for Triple M. Save it for Triple M,
that's
boys.
That's a must listen. Yeah. Then we get into Sunday Arvo. Knights, Seagulls, McDonald Jones Stadium. No Triple M coverage. Kickoff at 2 p.m. This, along with Roosters v Storm for mine, match of the round.
Yeah, playing against one of his many ex-clubs is Blake Green, who made an immediate impact last week for his Knights against the Tigers, and I expect him to do the same this Sunday against Manly. I think the beneficiary of him being there in the blue and red is Ponga, Kalen Ponga. You could see how more relaxed. It's Kalen Ponga's best game all year, and there's a reason it was, and we spoke about it in the lead-up that having Blake Green as another ball player just gives him another option. Everyone was predicting when Kalen Ponga would run the ball, when he'd get the ball, and it was usually off Mitchell Pearce on the right-hand side, which he went away from his good left-hand side, which he was successful in years gone by. But now Blake Green's there, Ponga can come up anywhere, any side of the field, which is very dangerous for other teams. And I expect him to be another give another man of the match performance against the Seagulls. I think Newcastle by 12.
And he's the player, from a super coach perspective, you've declared people need to go out and get this weekend. Just quickly, Daniel Saifidi back into the side at the expense of his brother Jacob. No Adam Fanua Blake for the Seagulls, which is massive, but it means the man mounting the eclipse, Taniela Paseka, will start for the Seagulls. They also get Joel Thompson and Curtis Sironen back. So all of a sudden that back row for them gets some real grit and punch to it, and Brad Parker back in. So some really big ins for the Seagulls.
Well, there's three quality players. Arguably, Sironen and Thompson rep players. Well, they have played for City, even they wouldn't look out of place in Origin. And Brad Parker's one of the most improved players in the NRL.
I was going to say, is there a most improved player award?
There should be,
because he would be right up there for it. But you're going with the Knights. Final game of the round. West Tigers taking on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. We spoke to Madge McGuire during the week on the show. This is a chips all in the middle game for them. Must win if they want to have any hopes of playing finals this year, and they should win. Few shuffle changes as well. We see Jacob Little back at hooker, which is fantastic after the injury he suffered. No Harry Grant, obviously, but Jacob Little, a really important player for the West Tigers moving forward, if they're not able to keep Harry Grant especially.
Yep.
And then the Bulldogs, I mean, we keep rolling along. They keep grinding out performances and making it hard. They make themselves very hard to win against.
Yeah, they do. Even though the Storm did a good job on them last week up there at Sunshine Coast. Mm. Look, the Tigers, this is the last team they beat besides the Broncos when they demolished them at Leichhardt Oval was the Bulldogs. And they've only won one out of the last six, the Tigers. And this is a must-win game. As you mentioned, we spoke to Madge McGuire through the week, and he seemed pretty relaxed. We asked him about the rumours and innuendo about him being a disciplinarian, and he said, well, that's how I am. If you don't like it, don't sign with the club. Mm. I think you know what you get, and when you take the ticket, you enjoy the ride. And he's won a comp, so not many coaches can say they've done that in the NRL at the moment. So if I was a Tiger, look, Madge, we trust. It's about time you stepped up for your coach, and this is a performance. I think they've got to show a breakout performance leading into the stretch home against the Doggies, as you said. Who you know what you're getting with the Doggies. They're going to defend, but they just haven't got quite the attacking prowess that most teams in the NRL have.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and just quickly on that, for Doggies fans, this game, they all matter to some extent, but you win this game and the Broncos don't get up against the Raiders, you jump off the foot of the ladder.
Well, I think that's what they want to do.
And that matters, MJ.
Well, it does. It matters to both clubs. Brisbane would be the first time in their history they'd be got a wooden spoon, and the Doggies, they don't want to come last. They're a proud club. So I think if you're asking who deserved to come last, it's Brisbane.
And for and against as well, depending on the score lines, the Bulldogs could jump as high as 14th. You could see the Cowboys and the Broncos go beneath them. Results and scorelines pending.
That'd be a sad day for Queensland Rugby League.
Oh, yeah, but lucky the Titans are on the up and up.
And the Titans, they can still make the eight.
Don't worry, we're going to win the comp next year, MG. All right, just recapping MG's picks for round 14. He's thinking the Storm to beat the Roosters at the SCG in an upset, Panthers to beat the Warriors. He's got the Eels to beat the Dragons, the Sharks to beat the Titans in a close one, the Bunnies to beat the Cowboys, Raiders to beat the Broncos, Knights to beat the Seagulls, and a man of the match performance from Kalyn Ponga at fullback, and the West Tigers to get it done over the Bulldogs. There's your round 14 preview. Enjoy your weekend of footy, and good luck with your tips.